put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, stand firm. May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I wonder when you last wrote a handwritten letter. Not so long ago, it was one of the most important ways of keeping in touch and expressing our deepest feelings. Not now. We don't, do we, often write handwritten letters these days. There are so many other possibilities for communicating with people. And as an aside, I suspect that one of the reasons for the remarkable success, phenomenon, of Taylor Swift here in Wembley last week is that people recognise in her songs sincere expression of her own deepest feelings of joy and sorrow, to which so many young people find they have been able to relate. Well, the New Testament has 21 letters. They were all handwritten. And with the Gospels, the four Gospels, they are, after 2,000 years, the fullest guide that we have to the meaning of what it is to be a Christian and how to live as Christian people. The verses we've just heard from the letter to the young church at Ephesus are some of the best known in the whole Bible. Put on the whole armour of God. What was it like to be a Christian in those early days of the young church? Well, their new faith brought great joy, great happiness, great fellowship. I have heard, says the writer, of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards your fellow members. But there were also many difficulties. Many new members from different cultures and ethnicities. Earlier in the letter, he speaks of people blown about by every wind of doctrine. Plenty of that in the church today. Paul has advice for parents and their children on matters like slaves obeying their masters and wives obeying their husbands, which really read very oddly 2,000 years later, and on which we have come to see that Paul, the writer, had deeper things to teach us elsewhere in his letters. Then we reach those verses that we've just heard this morning. They come at the very end of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And of course, we do, don't we, often leave the most important things we have to say to the very end. GPs know that better than most. It's the struggles of the Christian life that Paul is writing about. And he uses pictures to drive his point home. Jesus himself did, didn't he, often used pictures. Bread. I'm the bread of life, in today's gospel. Light, I am the light of the world. Grapes, I am the true vine. And the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard. And so many others. Now, Ephesus, in what is now Turkey, was part then of the Roman Empire. Roman soldiers would have been a very familiar sight to everybody. Sometimes fully dressed for active service. So when Paul says, put on the whole armour of God, the legionnaires, the Roman soldiers in the local barracks, would immediately come to mind. That picture was vivid and immediate. To be a Christian in Ephesus was a wonderful new life. It was also tough. But if there were dark struggles, as there often are for us today, there was also the whole armour of God. Put it on, says Paul, the whole thing, the whole armour, piece by piece. So he says it, doesn't he? Not just to those Ephesian Christians, but to us here this morning at St. Andrew's. Here are the pieces of the armour. Belt, breastplate, shoes, shield, helmet, and sword. The belt stands for the truth. We must always be truthful people. The breastplate is the breastplate of righteousness. We are to lead good lives in God's sight. The right shoes will take us quickly to the right place and make the right decisions and the right actions. The shield and the helmet give all the protection that we need. The weapon, the sword, is of course the Word of God. Now, this picture, I suspect, didn't work for those in the congregation at Ephesus who happened to be pacifists, who hated violence of any kind. But it did press home for everyone the important truth that becoming a Christian brings real joy, but also real but winnable struggles. Take up your cross and follow me, said Jesus. And those words are for us today. Being a Christian means at times taking a hard and difficult road, but it's a winnable one. These verses, written so long ago, are also God's word for us. The writer says we must stand against the wiles of the devil. What does standing against the wiles, the evil tricks of the devil, mean here now? I think the question comes maybe at two levels. First, for each one of us as individuals, what's holding my progress back on the Christian path as a follower of Jesus? And that question is for me, as the preacher this morning, as it is for all of us. What's holding back my progress on the Christian path to God? God's protection and power, the whole suit of armour, is there for all of us too. But the struggle is, isn't it, not just on the personal level. Our struggle, says St. Paul, is against the cosmic powers of the present darkness. What are the cosmic powers of present darkness in our 21st century world? For our church, for our nation, for the whole human family. I'm sure each one of us will have our own list. Mine includes, first of all, the increasing and terrible danger for the whole human family that we're bringing on ourselves in climate change and the destruction of the natural environment. Conflict in so many places, affecting the lives of hundreds of millions of people all around the world. And of course, we'd especially be praying this morning for the alarming and frightening situation in the Middle East as it's developing. The huge and widening gap between rich and poor. The dangers of false information, fake news, spreading like lightning around the world. Some of the greatest challenges the human race has ever faced. But we are people of hope. Be strong. Put on the whole armour of God. We will stand. We will not be crushed. At the very end of this passage, and it's also the very end of the whole letter, the writer says something very important in a little footnote. Please pray for me, he says, especially for my work as a preacher. Pray that I may speak a message. It may be given to me to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's a prayer for every preacher of the gospel, everywhere and always. Sermons are important, and vicars have more and more things to do and less time. That great preacher, John Stott, once said that 1 minute of your sermon needs 1 hour of preparation. That's not really realistic. The vicar would be spending all the time in his study. But there is an important truth here. Vicars, all preachers, need to protect enough time to share the Christian story with conviction and with power. If we're retired, like me, we've got more time, but we are less in touch. If we're in full-time ministry or combining ministry with another job, we're much more in touch, but have much less time. Please pray for us. Amen. We stand to affirm our faith together. We believe the Father, maker of heaven and earth. And the life of the world to come. Amen. In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father.
Let us pray. Let us pray for the church and for the world, and let us give thanks to God for his goodness. Almighty God, you have promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. Heavenly Father, who created us to be sisters and brothers in Christ, hear us as we lift our hearts in thanksgiving and praise, and hear our prayers and intercession for all the needs in the world. We thank you for the fellowship in this church around us as we gather once more in this house of prayer. May our worship not only honor you with our lips, but also with our hearts and minds. We thank you for St. Paul and his instruction to the Ephesians to pray on all occasions, which with all kinds of prayers and requests, an instruction we seek to follow today. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, we pray for peace in the world. We pray for a time when weapons of war will be replaced by your protection, when oppression will be overcome by justice, when lies and deceit will be replaced by the truth and integrity, and when hated cruelty will be replaced by your spirit of love and justice. Give to all world leaders and governments the desire and wisdom to make the right decisions and to govern their people with truth for the good and peace of all. In the moment of silence, please bring to God a place or situation in your mind this morning. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, thank you for our family, friends, and neighbors, and those around us with whom we work and share our daily lives. We give you thanks for all the joys and blessings of family life. Help us when we quarrel or fall out to quickly put things right and forgive one another. We especially pray this morning for our children and young people as they prepare to return to or start school, college, and universities in the coming week. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, we raise before you all those whose lives are restricted by illness. We remember the chronically ill, those in constant pain, the depressed, the despairing. We especially bring to those in our Starlink to you this morning. We remember Ralph Belford, Elizabeth Bello, Susan Brown, Robinson and Robina Heinsere, Sue Nichols, Pam Story, and Angela Zerodian. In a moment of silence, please bring before God anybody else that may be in your mind this morning. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for those whose hearts have been saddened by the death of someone close and dear to them, for members of our families who have died, and those whose anniversary we recall. Help us to experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit within us and the fellowship of the church family around us until we reunite once more in your heavenly kingdom. You remember this morning, especially, whose anniversaries are George Fryer, Doreen Fleming, Andrea Gordon, John Gray, and Ginger. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful God, we have started with you, we have shared with you our petitions, requests, and thanksgiving. So we now ask for the blessing of your presence in the week ahead. We pray that you will guide us, guard us, and keep us in this way to do and say daily. Merciful Father, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.